This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Portland Trail Blazers fall to the Oklahoma City Thunder 109-99 last night. And if that is how every Blazer game goes the rest of the season, I'm in for it. I'm in. Like, that is how you properly lose a basketball game.
Well, so much of this is like, yeah, this is what you want to see, da, 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 but it won't be like this very often because there's so many, and this is kind of what we were talking about yesterday with the whole idea of, you know, the consistency of outliers, right? Mm-hmm. The Blazers aren't going to shoot 40% from three very often.
No, and that, I'm not saying in that regard, I'm not taking it that granular. I'm talking effort on both ends of the floor,
sure.
Development, and it can be a different guy every game, but what we have seen is the development of Tumani Kamara from where he started to where he's at right now. You are seeing a guy in front of our very eyes grow, develop, and become not just a good, a great defender the NBA.
I actually got some text last night from folks that I really respect and trust in the league, and they're like, he's going to get like legitimate all defensive team love. Like, he's that good.
All right, where is Kamara right now on the list of like the most versatile defenders in the NBA? Because I think something that you mentioned yesterday, which it is really good, and I think that people need to acknowledge a little bit more, is the fact that it's the variety of players that he is giving fits to that are not just scrubs. Considered the best at their traits, and he is putting them in blenders.
His last three games, he has defended Ant Edwards and Julius Randle and Trae Young and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. You cannot have more different archetypes than those. A guy in Julius Randle who's 6'8", 6'9", 260 pounds, and is a Bologna China shop, one of the most dynamic athletes in the entire NBA in Ant Edwards. One of the slipperiest and manipulative players in the entire NBA in Trae Young.
And look, finesse and perimeter guy.
Yeah.
Perimeter player and a finesse guy.
And then Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who's maybe the most awkward guy in the NBA to guard because he's all about angles and change of pace and change of direction and getting you off balance. And Tumani made SGA's life hell last night.
Did not make a three. Half his points came from the free throw line.
Yeah. And I mean, I watched some of the film when I got home last night. It's the beauty of having a game be done before 8 o'clock. I could get home and do some film work. The stuff that he was doing, cutting off angles, 45s, just botting up. I tweeted it out last night right after it happened. Two picks him up and shuts off one whole side of the floor and just keeps him on one side. And SGA tries to get over, and two knocks the ball away from him. And SGA just looks to the sky and just has this, what the bleep is this guy doing? It's the first quarter of this game. Leave me alone. Like, you could, the frustration level was peaking right out of the gate. Trae Young had the same look on his face. Julius Randle had the same. Like, guys are getting tired of him. And it's not because that he's doing anything dirty or, you know, giving him the Draymond kidney punch. It's his energy and relentlessness is truly top in class. And I was looking at his tracking data last night. He's moving, covering more ground, and there's even more tracking data on the private side that I've seen that shows his effort based on how, like, how fast he accelerates and how much and how quickly he decelerates. He's in the effort expended, like actual energy, the math behind it is one of the highest in the league.
Okay. How long can that last though? I mean, he's 24 years old and he's young.
He's built like this. He's got a sicko motor. Like, this is what he has. Like, there's no, like, this is like
Bruce Bowen-y.
Yeah, it's Tony Allen, it's Bruce mm-hmm. Bowen, it's, you know, to an extent, Patrick Beverley. Like, you just go, I'm not gonna let you, and if you ever see two is in phenomenal shape. Like, he's built like you'd never believe an NBA player. Like, it's like, that's not right. But he's got an engine and a motor that just keeps going, and he's getting to the point defensively where it's like, no, he's getting real national recognition behind, like, not in the sense of like,
yeah. ESPN. When midseason reports come out, you're going to start seeing him on most improved in all defensive
yes.
radars.
Like the people behind the scenes who really watch the film and really watch the games and appreciate guys like him, he is moving significantly up list. I think the two guys you can talk about the most in that vein this year among young guys, it's him and Dyson Daniels. Like, those are the two guys everybody's like, no, these guys are making real growth. As it pertains for Portland, you know, last night you saw what happens when a team puts a scouting report together on Shaedon Sharpe.
Mm.
They would not let him get where he wanted to get to. Every time he came off a DHO, every time he came off a pin down, every time he came off any kind of pick and roll, they're sliding in front of him. They're reaching, they're smacking them. I mean, he had 6 turnovers last night. And he's tightened his handle up. But you can see the development. But this is when you talked about, like, this is the way you want them to lose games, or how to, you know, ethically tank, as it were. They were egregious from two, and they've been bad from two pretty much the entire season. Yeah. What kind of buoyed them was the fact that they did hit some threes. I think what you're saying for the most part is right. Like, it's much more enjoyable but what the problem pops up, I think, for most fans who won't willingly admit this, is if they don't hit those threes last night, let's just flip the numbers. That mm-hmm. OKC doesn't go 9 of 31. You know, say Portland goes 9 of 31 and the Thunder go 15 of 38. Then it's an absolute rout.
Sure. And you know what? But this is what I'm okay with, mm-hmm. is that if we have these outlier games, we don't overreact to the outlier games. But I look at, all right, you lose a game where you're having struggles hitting from two, right? Mm-hmm. That is it. 6 guys scoring double figures, yep. And you don't have the Herculean Superman effort from Shaedon Sharpe, and he has 21 points, but 5 other guys scoring double yep. figures, and then Scoot is at 9 points, and he leaves in, what, the third quarter with that hip contusion, and or the thigh contusion, quad contusion, and you go, he had 9 points on the game. He very easily could have been the 7th Blazer, just put ball in hoop and mm-hmm. not be just absolutely mind-numbingly bad at basketball, right?
Yeah,
that's because we've seen that at times. I'm okay with you stating the fact that the Blazers couldn't hit the broadside of a barn inside the 3-point arc. But you know what? They finally got some shots to fall from beyond the arc. It's not the worst thing in the world that you lose by 10 to that Oklahoma City team on the road. I'm okay with it. The effort was there.
Hey, they covered.
They did by 1.5. The effort was there on both ends of the floor. They turned over the ball an egregious amount.
And that is becoming something. They're second to last in the NBA in turnover rate. That's a mark of this team right now.
That's, guess what?
It's young.
Bad teams do is yeah. they turn the ball over. But you saw a little bit of balance on the offensive end. It's not just stand around and say, all right, Shaedon. All right, Jeremy. Go, you guys score. Mm. We're just going to be passive watchers on the offensive end.
I think there's been, I mean, we're kind of up against it right now. I think that you're seeing, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, but the identity of this team is really kind of coming together, what they are and kind of what they project to be kind of going on in the future.
All right, let's talk about that. Blazers lose 109-99. That's what, wins and losses, I don't care. I thought they played a pretty decent game, all things considered, against one of the best teams in the NBA.